हाँ जी, सत श्री अकाल जी, आई नू अदाब टू द पोल शो। तुसी सुन रहे हो सीजे लो 1690 AM। मैं थोड़ा अपना संजीव पॉल, ते जेड़ा तुसी हुनी सॉन्ग सुन के हटे हो, दैट वाज रिक्वेस्टेड बाय मिस्टर सरप्रीत सिंह। शाउट आउट टू मिस्टर सरप्रीत। एंड सो नाउ वी आर गोना फास्ट ट्रैक द क्रिकेट एंड लेट्स जस्ट टॉक थ्रू दैट बांग्लादेश हैज बीटन न्यूजीलैंड इन न्यूजीलैंड, व्हिच इज कमेंडेबल जॉब। इट्स जस्ट लाइक 73-9 Golden State Warriors getting beat by Cleveland Cavaliers in 2016. So it's an amazing job. And then we have India losing to South Africa. So that's it. इस तो ज़्यादा मैं क्रिकेट की गल नहीं करनी है, बिकॉज आज सारा मेन जो टॉपिक आया हुआ है क्रिप्टोग्राफी, सॉरी नॉट क्रिप्टोग्राफी, क्रिप्टो मार्केट। तो वी हैव टू अमेजिंग पर्सनैलिटीज टू हेयर। वन इज गोना टॉक अबाउट क्रिप्टो एंड अदर इज गोना टॉक अबाउट द ई स्पोर्ट्स and how it's making use of the technology. So welcome Gurmanik Kohli and Abhijit Singh.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. My name is Abhijit Singh and thank you Sanjeev for having us
Thank you. चलो पहले आप थोड़े बारे थोड़ा जान लेते हैं। सो गुरमानिक, जस्ट गिव अस अ फ्यू, आई गिव यू 1 मिनट और 30 सेकेंड्स टू जस्ट इंट्रोड्यूस योर सेल्फ टू माई लिसनर्स एंड योर फ्रेंड्स एज वेल।
Okay, so I am currently a student at Concordia University doing my master's in finance, which is a thesis-based program. So why am I on the show is because I am doing my thesis on cryptocurrencies from a financial perspective, where I look at if cryptocurrencies show gamble-like traits, or are they a hedging instrument, or can they function as a store of value. So that is basically the background of my work. Other than that, I am an international student. I'm from India. I have worked with Ernst & Young for 1.5 years, and my education has always been in the commerce background.
Okay, let's see how you can turn this boring topic into interesting and shed some थोड़े जो newcomers are into the crypto market, maybe they can have some knowledge of yours. So Abhay, now we're going to shift our focus to you and tell us about yourself and how you got into esports.
My name is Abhijit Singh, and I'm generally a technophile. I get so much excited when there is a new gadget in the market, and I research about that. What, where does it come from? How it developed into that final product? So I'm not that much interested into sports, but I'm interested how technology affects how can technology can alter the outcome of a sport of that particular match. So that's what I will be talking about today. And I was an international student. I graduated in last year, July 2021, and now I'm working full time. So that's it. Thank you.
Welcome to the show, both of you. And just to give a reference, that Abhay and Gurmanak both are actually a great snooker. I guess it's pool, no? Pool. You guys are really great pool players. And I get myself beat to the dust. So चलो धन्यवाद मैंने स्थान ली। ओके, तो दिस वाज आवर इंट्रोडक्शन। नाउ वी आर गोना टेक अ ब्रेक एंड आफ्टर दैट वी विल टॉक अबाउट क्रिप्टो मार्केट एंड ई स्पोर्ट्स। सो before we go to the break, there's another music request by Mr. Dishant, and we're going to listen to Sobat by Fiddle Craft. Stay tuned at CJ Law 1690 AM.
फिर तुझको गले से लगाए नींदे मेरी जले तुझे अजाब मिले मिले तुझे सुकून मुझे आफत मिले जख्म हो मेरे तुझको रात मिले बस मुझे तेरी जिंदगी भर सोबत मिले।
ਵੈਲਕਮ ਬੈਕ ਟੂ ਦਾ ਪੋਲ ਸ਼ੋਅ ਤੇ ਹੁਣ ਆਪਾਂ ਗੱਲ ਕਰਨ ਜਾ ਰਹੇ ਹਾਂ ਕ੍ਰਿਪਟੋ ਮਾਰਕੀਟ ਦੇ ਬਾਰੇ ਓਕੇ ਸੋ ਦਾ ਫਲੋਰ ਇਜ਼ ਆਲ ਯੂਅਰਸ ਗੁਰਮਾਨਤ ਐਂਡ ਲੈਟਸ ਸੀ ਹਾਊ ਯੂ ਟੀਚ ਅਸ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਕ੍ਰਿਪਟੋ ਮਾਰਕੀਟ ਸੋ ਦਾ ਫਸਟ ਕੁਐਸਚਨ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਫੋਰ ਯੂ ਇਜ਼ ਵਟ ਇਜ਼ ਬਿਟਕੋਇਨ ਵਿਚ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਮੇਨ ਮਾਰਕੀਟ ਲੀਡਰ ਇਨ ਕ੍ਰਿਪਟੋ
Okay, so that's an interesting question, and I think that will sum up the crux of what cryptocurrencies are. So Bitcoin is actually the first cryptocurrency to ever be released by an anonymous inventor or a group of inventors who call themselves as Satoshi Nakamoto. So Satoshi Nakamoto released a white paper in 2008 describing a system that is a purely peer-to-peer version of electronic cash that would allow for online payments to be sent directly from one party to another without going through a financial institution. Mm-hmm. So that's how they define this system. So in plain English, it is a mechanism which allows you to transfer Bitcoin, which is in this crypto world considered as money. It allows you to transfer Bitcoin from one person to another, or money from one person to another, without you going to the bank and needing their approval. And what's amazing about this is that it is also anonymous as long as you do not disclose your wallet ID and your identity to anyone else. So that is what in crux is Bitcoin. So it's an anonymous payment system.
Okay, so just to tell it to all the listeners that there's a disclaimer out to everyone that no talk on the show is financial advice and are just the views of the speaker. And if anybody wants to listen in Hindi, main sabhi ko jagrut karna chahta hun, jo hum yahan pe sujhav dene wale hain, wo humari sirf apni baat hai, aap isko dil par mat lijiyega aur paise usme mat laga dijiyega, bina soche samjhe. So now hum baat karte hain blockchain ke bare mein. So what's blockchain? I have heard a lot about it and I guess Bitcoin is reliant on this technology a lot. So just tell us about it.
Yeah. So blockchain is actually the technology on which Bitcoin functions. Mm-hmm. So what exactly is a blockchain, or how I understand it is like a shared immutable ledger that is used to record transactions in a decentralized manner. So this system of blockchain, it uses things like cryptography, private keys, public keys, hash functions to make sure that legitimate transactions are A, recorded, and B, are broadcasted to everyone on the network. So how does this work is a list of transactions occurring on the network is called a block. So this block is broadcasted to everyone on the network. And there is a whole community of people called miners or validators who are working to verify or validate this thing, this set of transactions, so that no fraudulent transactions can take place. So the miners and validators actually solve a cryptographic problem and create a hash and digest of this block. And when a new set of transaction arises, this previous hash is added to the new set, and this kind of continues. So what happens is each data in the previous block is now linked to data in the next block. Mm-hmm. So this is how it actually gets its name. It's a chain of blocks. It's a data structure algorithm which allows you to store a copy of whatever is happening. Like you can store any kind of data on this. We use it to discuss cryptocurrencies, so you can store any kind of data on this, and it is continuously verified by a community of people called known as miners. Interesting fact about this word blockchain: it actually never really appears on the white paper that Satoshi Nakamoto published. So it is later that this concept came to be known as the blockchain. The closest he comes to saying is a chain of blocks, but this term was actually adopted by the users, and it's actually made by the users of this tech.
Yeah. Okay, so if I'm understanding it correctly, agar main Hindi mein bolun, to it means if you want to alter some transaction in the past, you have to alter the transaction and then come back in the present time before it goes to the future.
Well, yes, that's correct. And that's a very interesting point that you raised, Paul. So what happens is, because as I just explained, that a hash of a previous block is added to a hash of the next block, and then this chain continues. So let's say if I want to alter a transaction that occurred 10 blocks before, what I would have to do is, I would have to alter the 10th previous block and all blocks after that, which is okay, doable. But the catch is, I would have to do it faster than all of the miners on the network, which is not feasible. So this brings me to another topic or another sphere of things that happens in the cryptocurrency world. It's called the 51% attack. So what people say is that theoretically, if someone wants to hack the Bitcoin network, the person needs to have 51% of the mining power combined of all miners on the network to be able to manipulate that. And let's say with quantum computing, with supercomputing, the probability is very low. Someone manages to garner 51% of the mining power on the Bitcoin network. So now you get into game theory. It says that if you have this much power, it would still be more beneficial for you to act as a good actor in the system and gain money rather than being a bad actor and spoiling the transactions. So that is what makes this network very strong and reliable.
Yeah, this is reliable, but people have a lot, lack of trust into it, and they are still getting into the market. But there are a few terms that you have just said, like miners and ledger. What do you mean by ledger? Like, for me, I would like to know what's ledger.
So ledger is a term that is usually used in accounting. Ledger is a record of anything. So what happens is, if I do a transaction, let's say Paul, you pay me 10 bucks and I pay 10 bucks to Abhay. So what I do is I write in my notes that Paul paid me $10. Gurmanak paid Abhiji $10. So this whole recording of something is called a ledger. So this this is what a ledger is.
Okay, so that's fine. That's clear to me. What's the difference between a miner and a normal person who is just trading? How is it that different? What's more profitable to a person?
So that's a tricky question there. First of all, I'll clear out what is the difference between a miner and a trader. So a trader is someone who's just using the cryptocurrency. He or she is buying currency and selling currency. Because we're using the word trader, I would say it is motivated by the possibility of having a profit, because someone buys cryptocurrency, holds it, sells it. So that is who a trader is. A miner is someone who's on the network and is making sure that if someone broadcasts a transaction, let's say you buy $10 worth of Bitcoin or you buy $100 worth of Bitcoin, you have that in your wallet and then you send it to someone. So did you actually send that money to someone, or you never really had the money that you're spending? So that is something that a miner would verify. That is, and how do they do it? They do it by solving these cryptographic problems using SHA-256 algorithms, ETH hash algorithms, and they produce like a proof of work, and they say that yes, this guy has actually had this money and he spent it and given it to this person. So they are actually the arbitragers of the crypto world. They're actually, and additionally, a very important function that these miners do is that they also help in creation of new Bitcoin. So whenever a transaction is mined, why would a miner waste their time mining transactions? It's not community work. Whenever they mine a transaction, they're rewarded by Bitcoin from the network. So this Bitcoin is just produced from the network and put into their wallets. I'll just go one step forward and I'll say that, let's say everyone knows that there is a $21 million Bitcoin cap on the Bitcoin network. So what happens when you reach the 21 million cap? Do miners stop working? Because no more Bitcoin can be produced. So the answer to that is no, miners don't stop working, because what they can earn is a fee. So now the fee is very less, but let's say after 21 million Bitcoins have been produced, you need to incentivize miners to be able to process your transaction. So you would voluntarily add fees to the transaction so that the miner processes it. I hope that clears your question.
That quite clears my question though, but jinko samajhna, for those who didn't get this technical part, just a simple liner, one liner, paisa hai babu bhaiya, paisa hai, this is all money. So okay,
yeah,
and that sums up. But so basically we can say that Bitcoin is like US dollar, which is like the world money, world's common default money that you are giving to somebody for like mining. Is it true, or do they have other coins as well that they give for mining?
If I understand your question correctly, what you're saying is that, is Bitcoin actually money?
Yeah, it's more like, is Bitcoin the default reward for somebody who is doing the mining? Or do they get any other coin as well, like Ethereum?
Okay.
Or Solana?
Okay. So like Bitcoin is a blockchain. There are many other blockchains, like there is the Ethereum blockchain, which has the Ether as its cryptocurrency. There is the Solana blockchain. So whatever blockchain you are working on, whatever blockchain you are related to, so if you're a validator on Ethereum or you're a miner on Bitcoin, you will always be rewarded, or you will always get your fees in terms of that native cryptocurrency. So it's not that if I work on the Solana blockchain, I would not get paid in Bitcoin, I would get paid in the SOL token, SOL, the Solana cryptocurrency.
Now I get it. So it's like we can say Bitcoin is US dollars and Solana is like Indian crypto stock market. So they will be given money in their own notations or the currencies. So maybe that's how I'm getting it. Just be blockchain pe aap kaam kar rahe ho, CCT currency aapko mile as a reward. So
that's
yeah,
correct.
Okay. So now we got to know the basics of crypto. And so since there are two major players in the crypto market, there's Bitcoin and Ethereum. So how is Ethereum different from Bitcoin in a simple plain word, like if you want to say?
Okay, if I were to put this out very simply, I would say that the two main cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin and Ethereum, are fundamentally different, because Bitcoin functions as digital cash or digital gold, whereas Ethereum functions as the digital banking system. So, a bit more technical word, the Bitcoin blockchain is not very programmable, whereas the Ethereum blockchain is programmable and it allows you to do more complex transactions other than simple transfer of money. So using smart contracts on the Ethereum blockchain, you can lend money, you can earn interest, or you can do all sorts of decentralized finance activities, whereas you cannot do all of that on the Bitcoin chain.
It's actually quite interesting, like if you dig into it. So that actually kind of answers my other question, that why is Bitcoin compared to gold? So we're gonna shift to another question that I have.
Okay.
How is cryptocurrency mining impacting the environment, and what are your views on it? Should it be stopped? I guess Elon Musk has stopped buying or getting the Bitcoins from the buyers. So what are your views on it?
Wow, that's another interesting question. So Bitcoin mining actually consumes a lot of electricity. So this whole system consumes as much electricity in a year as a small country like Sweden, Norway, Malaysia, or country of any other size. So it's consuming that much electricity in a year. That's an estimated ballpark of around 130 to 140 terawatt hours in a year. So what is the proposed solution to this? It gets into the details then. Like, one proposed solution is use renewable energy to mine Bitcoin, use green energy, but that does not still solve the problem of e-waste generation, carbon footprints and all. But again, so another interesting solution that is being pushed by Vitalik Buterin, that is the co-founder of Ethereum, is using the proof of stake mechanism instead of the proof of work mechanism, which I think is very smart, and it's a very clever thing to do, and I think that is going to make mining or validation use a lot less electricity as compared to what it's using today.
In simple words, how would you put it? Like, it's way too technical for the normal users, mm-hmm. like not for the technical person, but still for like a mm-hmm. normal user. What's the easier proposed solution? What you were saying, like the state mechanism. Okay.
So what happens is when you mine a transaction, all of on the Bitcoin chain using the current proof of work mechanism, all of the people start actually processing that transaction, and whoever solves the puzzle first actually gets the reward, right? Okay. So what's happening here is, if there are 10,000 miners, all of them are expending their energy to solve that problem, whereas only one will get the reward. The clever answer to this that Vitalik Buterin is proposing, the proof of stake mechanism, is that rather than everyone expending energy on solving that one problem, let's ask people to deposit some stake into the Ethereum blockchain. So you deposit some money, and based on the probability of proportion of that money that you have, you will get a chance to mine that to mine a transaction. And so what will happen is, someone will be randomly selected to validate a transaction, and they will expend the resources, and they will get the reward. But this would be done randomly and by the network. So rather than hundreds of people spending energy on doing one problem, one person will do one person, or one miner or one validator would actually expend resources and work on it. And it is claimed that they would be spending lesser energy on this.
Okay. So I guess Abe has a question for you, Gurman.
So in this perspective, if you are saying like the whomsoever spends more money getting into that thing will lose its like someone with having like lesser resources will lose a chance to like just go into the industry, like it will one person can go up the world, it will be same, like, but decentralized land was like created to like equalize the remove the inequality in people. So it's the same thing. Can you like bit more, am I wrong or like, it's thing?
Okay, that's a very smart question, and that is actually an ongoing debate with Vitalik Buterin and the other people in the Ethereum world. So how I will just answer how he answers it. So when we say that people with more money invested would be able to get more transactions, right? Mm-hmm. And that would actually appear to counterbalance the decentralization benefit. But what is actually being done is, in today's world, when you're using proof of stake, proof of work, like the Bitcoin mechanism, you're using that, you still are doing the same thing. So if you spend millions of dollars on purchasing computers, and you get more transactions to mine, and if someone else spends billions of dollars and he gets more computing power, he gets more transactions to mine, he gets more rewards. So it's actually the same thing. What is happening right now and what will happen then is the same thing, but that is just more energy efficient. I hope that answers your question.
So yes, it does. Like now that I see that way, it's the same thing, but it saves energy and it's the same output you're getting. Thank you for that.
So it's basically like we want to save the environment and live more. We want to live 100 years. So that's the way of going. So just to simply put in the perspective of the normal user.
That's good. Yeah.
Okay. And I guess you heard, like, maybe you were actually watching the monitoring the crypto market for the last 2 days. It has crashed like 10%, if I think so. 5% was down yesterday, Bitcoin. Ethereum is now up by 4% of 5%. What are your views on it? How or why did it go down?
Okay, so the recent crash, it's been very interesting. So the news and the observers have been attributing it to two reasons, actually. Mm-hmm. One is actually the United States Federal or the US Fed minutes convey that they intend to raise the interest rates. Mm-hmm. So when the government increases the interest rates, it leads to like higher cost of borrowing, mm-hmm. which means that people will have less money in the economy and they will resort to like consuming some and saving some, which will actually reduce the amount of investment people make. So what will happen is money will move out from assets like cryptocurrencies, like stock market. The stock market also fell on this news. So that's one reason why people estimate that the crash happened. Another reason is that there is a lot of political unrest in Kazakhstan right now. And Kazakhstan holds around 20% of the mining power of Bitcoin. So there are protests because I think of the fuel prices. There are protests in Kazakhstan that led to an internet outage. So an internet outage in an area where you have 20% of the mining power of a cryptocurrency is very likely to affect the price this way.
So that I guess it answers my question, but myself, I bought like a lot of crypto market, cryptocurrencies. Like I expanded on my portfolio. I bought Solana, Bitcoin, Ethereum. Like the best part about cryptocurrencies is that you do not have to buy them in a rational number, like 1, 2, 3. You can buy it in fractions. So that's one of the main profits of doing it. So how did you? How did this crash help you in investing? Did you invest more, or did you took out some money, or how?
Well, I think from a point of view of the Bitcoin supporter in me or the crypto supporter in me, mm-hmm. I would say it's a good time to invest more money, because I do feel, and this is my personal opinion, I do feel that in the long run the blockchain technology is not going anywhere. Like with the coming up of with the innovations that Ethereum has brought in, like the NFTs, the metaverse, the decentralized autonomous organizations, the decentralized apps, the decentralized finance. With all of this innovation coming into the world, I don't think blockchain is going to go anywhere, unless like there are a few cases where everything can go in a wrong way. But I feel that it is here to stay, and I personally prefer to buy when the market dips and hold for some time. I don't usually trade intraday or intraday and take profits. I just prefer to buy and hold.
So you're basically like a long-term investor?
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay. So I have one gambling kind of question. What are your views on Dogecoin and Shiba Inu?
Okay. So I feel like I personally stay away from them because I don't see the merit in these coins. These coins are called meme coins for a reason, because they're actually a joke. So they were introduced as a joke, and some people, some very famous personalities are trying to push for these coins to become mainstream. Mm-hmm. But it's a joke. Let it be a joke. Like the person who invented Dogecoin, who started Dogecoin, sold all his holdings. He doesn't believe in it. Why would you believe in it? Like that's my opinion.
My opinion is like if you are willing to spend $10 on McDonald's and have a hamburger, which is going to help you in increasing your fat, you can maybe invest that $10 in Dogecoin or Shiba Inu, and let's see how it goes.
Yeah. I see. So yeah, either you could lose that $10 to $0 and miss out on your McDonald's burger, or you could buy two of them.
Yeah, maybe the fortune is with you and you can be a millionaire someday. But I don't know. It's let's see how it goes. So that was kind of the main crux of the crypto market we were discussing. And one main thing, why are people not getting into crypto market? How will you encourage them to get into it? That's the final question for you.
Okay. So what I think is the reason why a lot of people are not getting into the crypto market, which is changing. I can see the change. Like, people are actually getting into the crypto market, is because it is still a very abstract concept for traditional people to synthesize in their brain, to actually digest it. So yeah, like if I'm from a world where I never saw computers, or like I'm talking about people who are 70, 80 years now and not from developed countries or somewhere, and you say that a set of zeros and ones is now money, it would be very difficult for me to digest that fact. And but as and when the awareness is increasing, I think people are understanding. And I don't say that Bitcoin is going to forever replace money or Ethereum is going to replace money, but I do think that this thing has enough merit to be able to stimulate discussions like what we are having right now that actually make people think and ask questions about the fundamentals of money, like what is good money? Like, what are the characteristics of money? Good money should possess. What are the characteristics the current fiat currency has? Like, I think even if this fails, like I hope not, but even if this fails, it has actually made a lot of people start thinking about what is going wrong with fiat currencies and what needs to be improved. So this contribution is already there and it's not going to go anywhere. So I think it's a very good thing from that perspective.
Oh, that sums up the crypto part. But again, a question hit my mind. It's about the tax return. So when you are filing the income tax return as a student, it's my first time. So do I have to disclose that I am investing in the crypto market as well and give them the T4, or how does it go?
Okay, so the tax laws for cryptocurrencies are very new. And I think they just got into effect in Canada from January 1st. I'm not pretty sure of that, but that's something that I still would have to study. And what I understand is that this is the trickiest part of why cryptocurrencies are not being adopted, because there is a way there is difficulty in regulating cryptocurrencies. So the only trouble that cryptocurrencies show, like exhibit, is that it is very hard to regulate something that is anonymous and that is non-trackable. So I would say but the taxes, that's something that I would still have to look into because it's relatively new.
Okay, well that's it for crypto, and I hope the listeners got some knowledge from the depth of the mind of Gurmanak Kohli, who is a finance candidate at Concordia. And fortunately or unfortunately, he was doing thesis, so he's one of a kind in the international student market. So what's your view on thesis as well? Do you want to do it once again if you were to start your life, or how is it?
Okay, so yeah, no, it's a tough thing to do. Like, I would not lie, it's interesting, it's very interesting, it's very enriching. You expand your intellectual capacities to levels that you would not have if you would not have pursued a thesis. But it is, from an international student's perspective, it is very strenuous. It is it's like, for me, it is not easy, but I'm glad I was able to do it, and I'm glad I did it, because it's actually benefited me a lot.
Thank you so much, Gurmanak, and
thank you.
Closes the crypto part, and now we're gonna take a break, and then we will talk with Abhijit Singh regarding esports and technology. So stay tuned at CJLO 690 AM. We will be back after the break. Hanji, welcome back. to the Paul Show. So we just talked about the crypto market with Gurmanit Kohli. Now he's here to ask some questions to Abhay if he is interested. And the questions are regarding the esports and technology. So Abhay, how did you get accustomed to esports? How did you get into it?
I don't play video games. I'm just fascinated by the technology that is used into it. How, like what kind of VR sets, what kind of technology, what kind of GPU computing power that is required to do that. Like nowadays you can see like it's not a Mario effect. You cannot play a video game by like 32 bits. It's like millions of pixels now. It's in 8K also, like the latest PS5. It's in 8K, 120 hertz. Like how much computing power gets into that to like make them flow very smooth running of the operation. I'm fascinated by that, and I researched about that, how they developed that technology, the chipset that is required, the computing, the GPUs, what is required, how much RAM is that, how they make it like much smaller, packed into small stuff, how much like billions of transistors, trillions of transistors into like tiny nanometers. So I'm fascinated by that kind of thing.
So I guess you have heard about the Moore's Law. I guess both of you have heard about Moore's Law.
Moore's Law doubles the amount. But true. That's like now in 2021, it's like, it's getting like a flawed thing because like the amount of transistor they are putting in one chip, it's like doubling and tripling. Like the latest iPhone you can get, it has A15 Bionic chip. So it has like 1.2 trillion transistors. And earlier in like when the computer started, it's like the transistor used to be like on a switch. So they have to like acquire the whole room for the computers to run. But nowadays it's like just in your hands, like 1.3 trillion transistors. So Moore's Law is getting like it's not good.
It's actually quite crazy, like for me, like to have a phone that is holding 1 terabyte of memory and a Snapdragon 888, which is like amazing in itself, and we can do a lot of gaming. So to do that, there are some specific kind of phones, like gaming phones, and they are just normal iPhones. But do you think that the gaming phones are much better than iPhones, or how does it feel? Like A4 is much better, or the specific phones that have heaters and coolers in it to give you a much better gaming experience? So how do you feel about it, if you have research?
If you talk about the gaming phones, and we just have to differentiate between Samsung or like a Android space and the iOS Apple, because Apple is in like different category. It uses its own ARM chips, and then it comes like Android. Gaming phones are like mostly, they are like only Androids, so they use the top of the line chipset. Like the latest one is Snapdragon 898, that is yet to come. And they use it, but the main difference between gaming phone and a regular phone, it's just like they have more like RGB. It's the thing of like they will have all the top of the line. Even the Samsung S21 Ultra that we are using, that has all the capability that we can use. But the most essential is like a heating thing, that they can get much more cooler, so that because if the processor doesn't have the required temperature to operate on that, it's like 80 degrees Celsius, that is like optimal. It can run for like it can go up to its peak level, so that is required to like cool it. So that's the main difference between a gaming phone. Gaming phone has a like a external cooling system.
What's your suggestion? Again, a disclaimer, just advice. So iPhone or a gaming phone for the needs of a video game player?
It's a personal suggestion. I would say like if someone is like they want to use very simple things, they just want to go for like a daily like you want to click photos, you want to use social media, you want to use for Netflix, go for anything. But if you are like specific into like optimization things, you can go for Apple. But if you are like more into tech space, you cannot go in though, because Apple restricts you so much, because you cannot update your phone like to your own voice. Like you can download that much, because Android is like more of a open source and Apple is like a closed source course. So that's why you can, there is more like thousands. You can have like, you can operate iOS, Windows on your phone.
You can just on as well. But so since you talked about the open source and closed source, this is one of the main topics, which is why Gurmanat Kohli has stopped himself from buying iPhone. Is that right, Gurmanat Kohli?
Yes, that's correct, because I find iPhone very distributed. Like you cannot get, you can only get what Apple provides you. You cannot get what you want. So yeah.
जो भी मुझे सुन रहे हैं आईफोन पे, हम आपको बुरा नहीं कह रहे हैं, आप बहुत अच्छे फोन पे हो, बट वी हैव आवर ओन ओपिनियंस दैट वी वांट टू हैव आवर ओन क्रिएटिव माइंड्स एंड जस्ट प्ले विद द कलर्स, हैव डिफरेंट ऑपरेटिंग सिस्टम्स. वी हैव ऑक्सीजन ओएस फॉर एंड्रॉयड, सॉरी वन प्लस, देयर इज सैमसंग. I guess Samsung is using Exynos, no? Exynos is only in India, or is it all in another parts of the
world? Samsung is using two chips, like the latest Samsung Snapdragon and Exynos. Mm. They were using Exynos for like quite a bit time. They use Exynos in the European market, and for the American market, the Canadian, Mexican, and North America, everything they use it for Snapdragon. Yeah. Earlier, it used to be like they were using Snapdragon because Snapdragon was much snappier and it was top at the line, because Snapdragon is making chips, but Samsung, it's making like whole lot of things like laptops, cameras, and all that. They are not like specialized in making chipsets. So, but now like in the competing world, like Apple is making its own M1 chip. Mm-hmm. You have seen they are like getting into more ARM, so that is specialized for their own product that uses like minimal power what's needed for operation. So that's why Samsung is also doing that. And in the latest, the last one is Exynos 2100, that was a very power efficient. And in like comparison for like Exynos and Snapdragon, it was like very minimal differences between the computing power. So they are making up.
So it's like a trend that everybody wants to just, fade away the third party, which is Snapdragon, and make their own chips. Apple has the M1, A14s, the Samsung has Exynos, and now even Google has their Tensor chip. So everybody has just one agenda on their mind. That's just that money, pesa, 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 pesa. That's it. So that's about that. So Abhay, I guess.
Yeah. One more perspective where technology like get ahead of everything when we are playing like sports, not the esports. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about for example, basketball.
Yeah.
So it's a multi-billion dollar, like everyone goes for NBA. So I will talk about how data and analytics transform the NBA. Mm-hmm. We'll specifically talk an example of Houston Rockets.
Yeah,
it's okay. A very famous team. And about that, they went from mediocrity to a serious NBA championship contenders. How they do it? It's not only happened because of the big players they are playing because, but it also because of the big data. The success is also a balance of players' performance analytics. The mind behind it's Daryl Morey. So he's a general manager of Houston Rockets and he's a computer scientist. So you'd be like concerning like what a computer scientist is doing in NBA, and how he's a general manager of like a very big NBA team. So how they do it is like they install video tracking system which mines raw data from the games, and they analyze their games later which shots provided them the most points, but what are the strengths of their team, like how they can defend it, and then the number of like three pointers got to a head, like the three pointers they were shooting, they were always successful. So they strategized and they always say like we'll do the three pointers. And in 2017 season, the Houston Rockets made more three pointers than the other team in the any NBA history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I that, remember. James
this was the major reason why they won more games than any of their rivals.
Yeah, I remember James Harden was amazing on those.
Yeah,
James. Also he had Chris Paul to help him. So
yes,
if Chris Paul was not injured, I believe they would have beaten Golden State Warriors in that season. If
the another sport I would like to talk about is football. So this famous sport has become more quicker and more spectacular to watch. Like practicing with medicine balls and cones only seems to be very like old fashioned, I would say. Nowadays training method includes footwork tracking with the help of softwares. Like it's not just you see a football match on your TV screen, but there is so much going behind the scenes. There is like real-time analytics that is going on, and they can, and with the help of AI, artificial intelligence softwares, they can change the outcome of the match. And the AI software will like produce every possible method how to win the match, and they will tell the system and the crew, and they will go to the coaches, and then they will deliver it to the players. Then they will win the match. It's like that. But now what we can see, it's like they're just playing the physical thing, but it's so much going behind the bat. And technology is whomsoever like have more resources, whomsoever is rich and is using more resources. It's like that now.
Yeah, so I guess I have to stop this depth of mind inside you to talk about technology, because we are running out of time. And it's been amazing. Like if I have the chance to talk with you guys again about crypto market and technology in sports, I'll do it again in the upcoming weekends. And so that's it for this week. I hope you guys liked it. I hope away I was not stopping you from sharing your wisdom with us.
No, it's okay.
So
thank you so much for having us on the show.
Yeah, this was a fun conversation. Thank you for having us.
Again, disclaimer to end the show that this was only a discussion. It was not a suggestion to those who want to get into crypto market and those who want to get into esports, that go get great GPUs, go get great CPUs. No, you need to work on your flexes first and then go get better devices. Start from Vivo, Oppo kind of stuff, and then go to iPhone 13 Pro Max to get good play time. So that's it. And thank you so much for tuning in to CJLO 1690 AM. This is Paul Show, and bye bye. I'll see you next week. Now before we go, there's a request from Mr. Sagar to play When the Levee Breaks by Led Zeppelin. Now here it goes, as I bid you a bye for this week. Enjoy.
gonna live in frames. Mama, you got